This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Welcome to your window into the meaningful impact being made across the Catholic Diocese of Hamilton. I'm your host, Marion Green, and I invite you to join me as I talk with inspiring guests and explore how the Catholic Development Fund creates ripple results. Today I'm joined by Deacon Leon Finn, who holds the very important role of archivist at the Hamilton Diocese and is part of the Bishop's pastoral team. Welcome, Leon.
Thank you, Marion.
So, as you'll be aware, Leon, the main purpose of the CDF is to provide funding to the Bishop each year, and he uses those funds to operate the diocese, including his pastoral team, of which you're a member. So today I'm excited to unpack a bit about your role and what it entails. But just before we do that, I'm sure our listeners are very interested in learning a bit more about you. So I'd like to start there, if that's okay.
That's fine with me.
Okay, great. So can you tell us a bit about your professional role and background and what led you to your current position?
Well, my professional role, I don't know if I've got a real professional role, but if you want me to talk about the archives and what's in it, then I can tell you I am professional. I love it.
Great.
Now, as you can see, I'm somewhat elderly, so it's real. When people say to me, what do you do? I say, I'm in the archives, and it's really one relic looking after the rest.
Oh, right.
But it's a very interesting role. Prior to coming into the diocese, as a deacon, I worked with the New Zealand government for some 46 years, so I'm used to talking to people, interviewing, and finding out what ticks and what doesn't.
Right, great. And so you were born in Hamilton?
No, I was born down in the Wairarapa, Paiatua.
Right.
Which was, for those who will remember Keith Holyoake, so Keith Holyoake, that was his territory, and I was born there back in 1945. And then my parents moved to Invercargill, right to the other end of the earth as far as Mum was concerned. And so we trotted off down there, and then we came back later to Hamilton, and I went through the convent and Hamilton Tech. I was going to be a builder, but I'm far from it. And settled there, married.
Yeah. You got married?
Yes.
And have a family?
Yes, I've got four sons and 13 grandchildren, so they keep me pretty active.
You're a lucky man, aren't you? Very blessed.
Very lucky, yes.
Okay, so you had government role, and then did you retire from that?
Yes, I did, yes. I retired at the age of 68.
Wow, and so the church brought you out of retirement to take up this current role?
No, I was actually training to be a deacon some time before then. And I've always been interested in the church. I thought I had a calling at one stage to the priesthood, so I went to the seminary in both Holy Name Christ Church and Holy Cross College, Mosgiel. Right. But then I came out.
Okay, and so what's a deacon, for those who don't know? Tell us about that.
Well, what does a deacon do? He's really, I would say, an intermediary between the priest and the laity. He can preach, he can baptize, he can marry people, he can farewell them in a requiem, and he also visits the sick and does a lot of other work, more in the pastoral area.
Right. Okay. So you did training to become a deacon, you just touched on that. So
yes.
What does that involve?
Well, that involves studying church history, liturgy.
To prepare you for being able to give sermons and
right.
Do services,
yes.
And these other things. Oh, wow. That's very interesting. How many deacons are there in the Hamilton Diocese?
I think at the moment we've got approximately about 22.
Okay. And any particular criteria you have to meet apart from those learnings? Do you need to be a certain age or experience?
Well, most of us that have come in have come from working life, and we're certainly over 50.
Right. Yes. So a bit of life experience on your side.
A little bit of life experience goes a long way in this job.
I'm sure it does.
Definitely.
Okay. So when did you start working for the diocese and your current position?
My current position as an archivist, I came into the diocese when I was about 73.
Okay, so what's that, 7 years ago?
That's seven or eight years ago.
Yes. So. Okay, and straight into the archivist role?
Straight into the archivist role, yes.
Okay, so I guess the question on everybody's lips is, what's an archivist?
Well, an archivist is a person who is interested in the past and the present as it relates to what's going on in the church, has been happening, and what we've recorded for prosperity.
So you look after records and things as well?
Yes, look after records. Items are given to us, you know, family Bibles, vestments, any news that the parishioners feel should be held in the diocese. So we collect that. We're not very much different to the average family person, you know, who sits down with an album and says to their parents, "Who's that?" And someone says, "Well, that's Great Aunt Jane." And then before you know it, you're finding out what's going on. That spirit of archivism is in, I think, the bulk of people.
Right. Okay. So you talked about records. What type of records do you mean?
Well, we keep records on baptisms, who's been baptized, brought into the church from an early age, or come into the church as the good Lord has brought them. We also have records on marriages, deaths, confirmation, the main sacraments that are administered.
Right. And I suppose back in the day, you correct me, it might still be the same now, but they're handwritten records?
They were handwritten. Today, they're typed. And so we keep records, that's the written record, plus records into the system, into the computer system as well.
Right.
So that we've got everything covered.
Okay. And so you mentioned vestments as well. So vestments belonging to priests?
This would be to priests and that.
Right.
And we've got one set of vestments which was worn by a priest who used to go around the diocese in the early years on horseback.
Wow.
So, you know, that's...
Not wearing his vestments, I presume.
No, they wouldn't have lasted too long, especially wading through rivers and that.
Yes, yes. Okay.
No.
So we're talking written records and aged vestments. So they're pretty precious and
they
fragile.
They are to us. And we've got, you know, crucifixes and a mass kit, which a priest would have taken with him when he was going out into the community, candles, the mass prayers in Latin, what was said in the old, well, we might as well refer to it in the old days, before Vatican II, yeah, quite challenging.
Mm.
And then people have given us statues and various books relating to Christendom. So,
right. Yeah. So the age of those, does that mean special storage?
Yes, it does. So we keep it in our archives, which...
special room? Is that a special room?
It is a special room, yes.
Okay. So,
you know.
And certain temperature, that sort of thing?
Yes, it's kept at a certain temperature.
And the vestments themselves, so what
now
are the? How are they stored?
They're stored in large cardboard boxes, and we wrap them also in tissue paper and that. So
that they will not disintegrate?
They're not going to disintegrate.
Yes.
Not too quickly anyway.
No. So some of them would be really, really quite old then.
Oh, yes, they certainly are. They're beautiful.
So the one that belonged to the priest who
was... Yeah, now that was what we would have called the old Latin Rite vestment, not the modern European style that we see today.
So what is the difference? Is it lacy, more lacy, or more intricate?
The fabric and the patterns are more intricate.
Yeah, right.
Very much so.
Right. And how do you have an idea of how old that one is?
That one is well over 100 years old.
Wow. Yes. Okay. All right. So really
and
important.
We just had it actually preserved recently. So
what does that involve?
No, that involved it had to go out to a seamstress, and she was able to fix it and not alter it in any way, but just make certain that it wasn't going to fall apart too quickly.
Right. Okay. Got you. Okay. So you're listening to The Ripple Results, and today I'm joined by Deacon Leon Finn. This is your inside look at how the Hamilton Catholic Development Fund turns investment into impact. Leon's talking to us about his role at the Hamilton Diocese as an archivist, a role that the CDF is delighted to help fund. So would that be, you said about 100 or over 100 years old for that vestment, would that be the oldest thing you think we might hold here at Hamilton Diocese?
No, I've actually got some books that are older than that, old books which record baptisms.
Baptismal records?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Wow, that's interesting, isn't it? And so the Hamilton Diocese was formed in 1980, having previously been part of the Auckland Diocese.
That's correct, yes.
So how was the decision made whether an archived item, be it a record or a chalice or a gown vestment, belongs here or in Auckland?
Well, of course, with the establishment of the Hamilton Diocese in 1980, all records and any historical material was passed through to the Hamilton Diocese, and so we now have collected it, stored it, and catalogued it.
Right, so things that were geographically in this part of the greater region that used to be Auckland.
Right. Okay. And remembering also that when we talk about the archives, we've got roughly 32 parishes in the Hamilton Diocese, and each would have its own archive.
Right.
Yes.
So each diocese has an archivist?
Yes, they do indeed.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And how is it decided when items pass through to the diocesan office to be held rather than remaining at the parish?
Well, if a parish was to close down and be amalgamated into a newer parish or an existing parish elsewhere, that the material collected would be sent through.
Right.
But not that often, because the new parish will take over those records and normally takes over any artefacts that were in the old existing parish.
Right, so two parishes joined together.
That's right, or even three.
Right,
yes.
So the records, the archive records,
then
are amalgamated
right.
as well.
They go to the new parish, yes.
Okay.
The only time we would receive it is where a parish had been completely closed down because for lack of communicants and that.
Right, okay, so it needed to come through.
These are more old rural churches. Yes.
Right, and are things discovered along the way that are new to you, that someone brings to you and says, this needs to come into our archive?
Oh, yes, someone approached me the other day with material relating to three churches, which were in the Catholic churches in the TR area, and was able to supply me with evidence of what went on and historical evidence as well.
Okay, and where had that stuff been?
It had been in the parish, but also collected by this person who was interested in architecture of the churches.
Right. It's really interesting, isn't it, how, different threads come together to...
Oh, yes. You can take nothing for granted.
Yes.
But that material is always out there.
Yes. And despite its relatively young age, New Zealand still has a rich history.
Oh, very much so, yeah.
And
involving so many different communities even.
Yes, and on that vein, I guess a lot of the clergy and the nuns that you were probably seeing records of were from Britain, I guess, were they?
They came, well, we had a number who came from Britain, but remembering that when the church came into New Zealand, it really was French.
Right.
It was Marist.
Right.
And Pompilia, on his way to New Zealand, called in to Ireland, and a number of Mercy nuns joined him there, and he was also bringing seminarians from England and France as well, and they were later ordained priests, and the church slowly grew.
Right. Yes, my memory as a child is that we often had Irish nuns and priests.
Yes, I was taught by Irish nuns and priests.
Yes. Adding a bit of character to things.
Indeed they did. Indeed they did.
For sure. Have you got a particular item that you have had the privilege of archiving that sticks in your mind and, you know, it really sort of made you, or, you know, piqued an interest in you more than the standard things?
I think really a lot of the clergy that we have had working in our Hamilton Diocese, and even when it was under the Auckland Diocese, were the Mill Hill priests, and their preservation of information relating to baptisms and deaths and marriages has been extremely interesting to read. And they went into great detail. I mean, one of our priests in the Taupo region had set up a timber mill to offer work to people, made certain that the schools were established, convents were established.
Right.
And saw the development of towns as they were.
Right.
In
so
the early days.
So less of the role that we think now,
very
modern day.
Very much so. Yes, very much so.
So whether or not they had practical skills, they just had to get on with it.
Well, Mill Hill certainly had practical skills. They were used to knocking up buildings and establishing parishes. Yes.
Right. Oh, turn their hand to most things, I guess.
Oh, yes. They were known as the joiner priests.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. Any of those buildings still around?
Yes, they are. Yes, they're still there. If you were to go down to Tikanu, around at the end of bottom of Lake Taupo, you'd find quite a number of buildings which they are.
And probably superbly built.
Beautifully built, yes.
Withstand the test of time, yeah. Wonderful. And as you've been going through the archives, I'm sure if you talked about how families have their own archives, and I know from experience, when you start going into those with the next generation up from you, you can go down a lot of rabbit holes and you learn
ever.
So many interesting things. So do you find yourself when you, say, open a box or are asked to look for something for someone else that you just are really intrigued?
I become very nosy.
Right.
And enjoy going right back to the first page put in the box to see what happened. And then the story comes forward to you.
Yes, comes to life.
Comes to life, very much.
Wow. Anything that really made you emotional, you know, good or bad emotions, whatever, but that really touched you?
Well, I was reading just recently of some priests who were working down in the Taupo region, and these were in the early days where they had to travel miles by horseback, and one of them was crossing one of the rivers, the tributaries, into Lake Taupo when he got washed off his horse. There was a bit of a storm, and he said the only way he survived was by grabbing hold of the horse's tail and praying to God that the horse wouldn't decide to try and swim the lake, but would seek the opposite shore as quickly as possible.
Oh, wow.
Which it did.
Fascinating tales. And isn't it wonderful that they actually wrote that down?
Oh, yes, they wrote it down. Yes, he thought he was close to death but wasn't quite ready yet. So
the Lord had other plans.
The Lord had other plans.
Because, you know, I think sometimes you think what's going on in your life isn't that important. But when you think about the next generation coming through, what you write, they will find so interesting because times will have changed.
We must preserve the past.
Yes.
And always, the current position of where we are.
Yes. Rather than just...
Don't look to the future. Well, there's nothing wrong in looking to the future, but it's the present and what happened in the past.
Yes.
That gives us a great idea of where we are and where we're going.
Yes. And you need to think about the next generations coming through, because, as I said, the, you know, technology and things will have changed, and they'll be fascinated by what Granny and Granddad used to do in the olden days.
In the olden days.
You know?
I remember talking to some children once, and I'm sure they thought I was around when Adam wore short pants. Much to my horror. I never did tell my wife that.
Oh, gosh, they were probably so young that anybody over 20 seemed ancient to them.
Extremely ancient.
Yeah, yeah. Children are great, aren't they?
They are indeed.
So, Leon, you obviously undoubtedly know a great deal about the history of the Catholic Church in New Zealand, and indeed the Auckland Diocese, later the formation of the Hamilton Diocese. Do you have any particularly interesting facts or stories that you might like to share? Like, I think people might be interested in the formation of the Hamilton Diocese and the first bishop here and so forth. Anything interesting you can think of that we, as the general public, if you like, of the church, may not be aware of?
No, but when I'm going back and thinking about it, I remember when Bishop Gaines came from Auckland to establish the diocese here, and, you know, there was really great
interest?
Yes, more than interest, of course, but it was a great occasion. And from then on, we've seen bishops come into the diocese,
yep,
be appointed, and then move on also.
Yes. And I understand
this
that.
This is growth.
I understand that Bishop Gaines, you know, ran the diocese on the smell of an oily rag.
He did indeed.
To begin with.
Yes.
There was nothing. He had to build it from the ground up.
From the ground up.
Right. Yeah. Was he already a bishop when he came here?
He was a bishop. He was an auxiliary bishop to Auckland at that stage.
Okay.
Yes.
And the first church in Hamilton, what was that?
The first church in Hamilton.
Would it be the cathedral?
It would be. It's St. Mary's.
St. Mary's, yeah. Yes. Now the Cathedral of the Blessed Virgin Mary that we all know so,
that's right,
sits so proudly in Hamilton East.
That's right.
Ah, okay. And if there was someone out there who wants to access the information that we have, or in fact wants to contribute to the collection, how would they go about that?
They may contact me in the diocese. And the best way is send me an email, or you can send a letter if you like. But it's easy to reach me. It's just archives@cdh.org.nz.
Beautiful. And the number is 0785 66 989.
That's right.
And we're currently located at 51 Grey Street. But again, history takes a little turn, and we are going to be moving to some beautiful new premises on Clyde Street.
That's right, at the back of the cathedral.
And I understand that you're going to be in charge of a beautiful new archive room there, specially built for these precious documents and
items. I'm looking forward to it.
Mm.
Yes, looking forward to getting them all there. And anyone is most welcome to call and see us.
That's wonderful. And so you, if someone wants, say, the baptism certificate for themselves or a family member, or just doing a family history, family tree, they can also come to you
they
and talk to you about that?
They can also come to me, yes. And if I haven't actually got the record, I can refer you to the particular parish who will hold it.
Right, so they hold more records more relevant to their particular
that's
small
true.
District
yes.
within their parish. Gosh, that's so interesting, Leon. You must be learning new things every day about the church, history of the church.
You never stop.
Yes. And do you get a chance to share that information with other people as far as do you discuss? I know you went to a school recently and you had a lovely chat to some young children who thought, as you said, that you were so old that you were probably around when Adam was running around the Garden of Eden.
You're quite right.
Do you talk to other groups at all about that? Is there an interest in the...
People are always interested. Mm. I've had people of other faiths come to me asking, did I have any information on, say, a bell and a bell tower that their family had donated to the church? Or they might be wanting to know about Catholic cemeteries in the region. It's amazing what people will ask for. And it's always a challenge. It's a challenge to try and then find it for them, because in doing that, we are also learning and being
yes.
able to record.
And I suppose you'd get, I imagine, some students doing a thesis or...
Oh, very much mm-hmm. so, yes. They're completing a thesis, say, on religious orders that have come into New Zealand, established and operating out of Hamilton.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then you've got, as you said...
And then we have to then try and assist them wherever we can.
Yes, and you've also got the people who come along, as you touched on, who are interested in the physical buildings.
Very much so.
Yes. Yes.
Great and aunt donated a glass stained window.
Where's it gone?
Yes. Or the altar. My parents paid for that, and it was kauri, you know.
Yes.
Is it still there?
Yes, true, true. And I guess, you know, you might find people who discover as they're doing their own family tree that they had an aunt that was a nun somewhere in the diocese, and they never knew her, they never knew about her.
That's right.
Then they'll want to come and find out about where she came from and where she ended up working.
And if we haven't got it, we would refer them to the mother house or to the particular religious organisation that they're seeking.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. And the number of nuns, from my understanding, seems to be decreasing. So what happens to all of that as there are fewer mother houses around? Where does the information go? Does it come to the diocese?
That would come into the diocese,
right?
Yes.
Yes, very interesting,
and
isn't it?
And held by the parish itself, the existing parish, if it was still there.
Because I'm old enough to remember nuns teaching in the schools and living in the school premises, not the classrooms, but
the
in a little home convent next to the church or next to the school. But those don't seem to be so common nowadays.
No, the church has moved more into pastoral area and more into the community itself.
Mm.
So it's very much universal.
Yes, and we want to welcome people.
Obviously,
as much as we possibly can. Our doors and our arms are open to them, aren't they?
Well, we're told to go and preach the good news to all nations, to everyone.
That's right. Yes, and the world needs more of it these days.
Very much so these days.
Yes, the state that it's in, yes. Well, it's been so interesting, Leon. Thank you for joining me today and for giving the listeners such an excellent insight into the super interesting role of the archivist.
Thank you, Marion.
Which the CDF is just delighted to be able to support. It is so, so important that we preserve our history, as you said, and take care of our precious artefacts. And so thank you for the wonderful job you do. I look forward to chatting to you again.
Okay, God bless.
Go well. Thank you for joining us today on Ripple Results. Catch us next time when I will be talking with another inspirational guest about their role and aspirations made possible by the Catholic Development Fund. You can find us wherever you listen to your favourite podcasts, and if you wish to contact us, you can go to www.cdfhamilton.org.nz or give us a call on 0785 66 989.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.